I love real estate. I believe it is the greatest wealth vehicle on the planet, right? Because again, if you look at my journey, I used other people's money. I had no money, but I scraped together other money from family and friends and other people that believed in me, you know, in order to buy that first property. And then slowly you can really build up from there.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, I am just incredibly honored and overjoyed to have the legend Trevor McGregor as our guest for today. Trevor, welcome to the show.
Well, Suja, thank you for having me. It's great to be here with you.
Yes, I'm just like absolutely thrilled to be having this conversation with you and so excited. So everyone, Trevor is a high performance master coach with over 30,000 hours of coaching experience under his belt. He has worked with clients from around the world, including Fortune 500 executives, high-level real estate investors, entrepreneurs, world-class athletes, and business professionals. And they all come to him for one reason: life-changing transformation. Well, I'm really excited. You know, Trevor is just like, he coaches some of the highest level people that I personally know of in the real estate space. And he's extremely well known in this space. And so very excited. Will you please, Trevor, start us off by telling us how it is that you got into real estate and the coaching experience and why?
Well, thank you so much. What a warm introduction. And yeah, I'm happy to share my story. And again, I think it's, you know, not that far-fetched from what other people, you know, will, you know, realize, because when someone tells their story, oftentimes we'll relate through our own, you know, story. And gosh, just like anyone else, you know, I didn't just, you know, start in real estate. I literally started in university, went to university, got a degree in business. Like most listeners, went and worked in corporate, or you go to work for someone. And, you know, I went to work for this, you know, family hospitality company here in Canada. I'm from Vancouver, Canada. And so after I was finished college, I went and worked, and I literally loved it, because if you know anything about the hospitality business, you deal with people all the time, right? And I became the executive director of operations. I climbed the ranks. And in my late 20s, the owners of the company came to me and they said, "Trevor, we love that you're so committed to people. You're so sharp in business. You do some great things. We're going to have a big expansion, and we'd love to make you a part of that." And I thought, okay, well, that sounds intriguing. Tell me more. And so they unveiled their big expansion plan to, you know, expand across 5 major cities in Canada. And I thought, wow, Suja, this is my time to really invest some money. I started thinking about the houses and the cars and the travel and all these things. I thought I was going to be able to retire rich. And so what I did was I took all of my savings, I cashed in my 401k, and I even convinced my own parents to take out a second mortgage on the family home. And it was a 6-figure second mortgage. And I shoved all of this money into this big expansion plan. And for the first while, it went well, until, you know, around 2001, right around the same time those planes hit the towers, where we were expanding so fast and the world stopped and people got scared and people stopped going out. And we were in this massive expansion plan, and I'm telling you, got out of control. And to make a long story short, we couldn't hang on. And literally, I lost all of that money that I put into the expansion, all of it gone. So, you know, there I was in my early 30s. I literally was broke. I literally, you know, gained a bunch of weight, and I had a massive rift in my marriage, right? And I don't know if you or anyone else has ever been broke, or, you know, ever had a dust up in your relationships, or had a bunch of body fat you didn't like yourself, you know, when you look in the mirror. And I was really at my lowest point. And
wait, Trevor, really quick. So the second mortgage, that was on Which house?
My mom and dad's family home.
Oh, man.
Family home that literally we grew up in. Right. Because my parents believed in me and they trusted me and they wanted to help, you know, their son expand. And, you know, I guess that's what a loving parent does. But there I was, and I wasn't even going to be, you know, even have any idea how I'm going to pay back the failed loans, let alone tell mom and dad I just lost all that money. And so I literally was in this low point in my life and low point. And I had a friend that said, you know what, you better get some help. And thank God for me, I found a coach. And that coach said to me, Trevor, what's happened to you is unfortunate. You're still a young man. You got to get up, dust yourself off, and start reconditioning your mindset for success. And, you know, I really had no other choice, Suja. So I started to read books, listen to audios, go to personal development events. And then one day when we were starting to tag team on how I was going to start finding a way to pay back my failed loans, you know, he said, how are you going to pay these back? I said, I don't know. And he said one thing to me that changed the whole trajectory of my life. And he said, have you ever thought of investing in real estate? I said, real estate? I don't have any money. First of all, I don't know anything about real estate. And he went on to say, well, you can use other people's money, you know, buy a property, fix it up, refinance it or rent it, and just keep rinsing and repeating. And Suja, that's exactly what I did. I mean, my back was up against the wall. I bought one little townhouse, fixed it up, refied it, pulled the money out of that, bought a condo, did the same thing there, pulled the money out, and then I had enough money to buy my first duplex. Now, I don't know about you, but it was when I bought that first duplex that I truly discovered what cash flow was. I mean, the thing was amazing. And so I literally ran those three properties for a year, and then I bought another duplex. And then I bought another one. And then I started to buy fourplexes and more fourplexes and single family homes. And in just 2.5 years, not only did I make enough money to pay off all of those loans, right? I had a beautiful cash flowing real estate portfolio on the top of it. And yes, I paid back my parents every cent of that loan. So there I was. Yeah.
Incredible. You did that in how many years?
2.5.
Okay. Because that sounds like, I mean, it must have been several hundred thousand dollars of loans.
It was. And there was massive appreciation happening in Vancouver, Canada at that time. You know, if you really think about it, a lot of markets don't see huge appreciation. And the universe blessed me with some massive appreciation, you know, over those years. And then even to this day, Vancouver is a very pricey market and we still own some stuff here. But what was really cool about that is, you know, people started to come to me and ask me, Trevor, how are you doing this? And it was my son's baseball coach that came to me and said, Trevor, can you sit down with my wife and I and show us how you're doing this? And Suja, I did. And literally within 1 month, they went out and purchased their very first rental property. Within 3 months, they bought two property. And by the end of the year, they owned three single family homes. And people kept coming to me and coming to me and coming to me. And that's when the coaching bug bit. And it was around that time that I was working with another coach from the Anthony Robbins group that said, Trevor, you're so passionate about business, real estate, and people. Tony Robbins is trying to grow his business division. Would you ever consider coming and working for us? And I said, well, sure, but I don't have, you know, any idea how to be a professional coach. And they literally said, you know, we'll take you under our wing. And that's exactly what happened. I went to all the events, read all Tony's books, listened to all the audios, went and did my practicum in Orlando, Florida with Tony and his team. And when the dust settled, I got offered a full-time position with Tony Robbins. And I jumped at it, literally went on to work with him for half a decade, coaching a lot of real estate investors, millionaires, billionaires, athletes. I mean, you name it. I really cut my teeth in coaching. And then I left that in 2017 to start Trevor McGregor International, which is my parent coaching company. And literally, that's what I do today. I help other real estate investors go from where they are to where they want to be. And if I look back at my journey, you know, the number one thing that allowed me to do that was really this 3-pound mass between my ears called my brain and conditioning it for success, regardless of what happened in my past. I gave up the familiar past to focus on the present to create my future. And here we are today. And that's my story.
Well, that's very incredible, you know, and I mean, I think it's always so humbling, you know, like I have been exposed to you so many times and yet I didn't realize that your beginning was this kind of traumatic event, you know? And so it's just very interesting and cool to hear that you came back from something so, so trying.
Absolutely. It's called the entrepreneur's journey. And I'm telling you, I've never coached anyone or seen anyone have success in a straight line. It's more like up, down, around, a loop-de-loop. You think you're falling out of the roller coaster, but some way, somehow that, you know, desire and that hunger for, you know, success is what keeps us going.
For sure. So, you know, what do you attribute your success to in those early years, you know, where you are kind of at a low point and then attempting to sort of remake yourself?
Well, I love that question. And really, it's really about going back to the basics, right? They say that success is really, you know, getting back to the fundamentals or, you know, simplicity. And for me, that was really starting to read the books, like the little purple book we've all fallen in love with, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. From there, I started to read books like Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill and Personal Power by Tony Robbins. And I soon understood that there was a new way of thinking and a new way of behaving where you would think a little bit differently than maybe you did in the past or what average people think. Because if you really, you know, put things together, it's a combination of psychology and strategy that takes people to new highs. And that's exactly what I started to do. I started to read the books. In that time, there were no podcasts. There were, you know, different audio things, but man, it wasn't like there is today. But it was also going to events, going to real estate meetups, going to real estate action groups. Even on the nights where I didn't feel like going, I knew that I'd either meet somebody or learn something. And I'm telling you, every time I went, I met someone or I learned something I didn't know. And it just kept on keeping, you know, on doing that. And ultimately, I really do believe that surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals is the key to success, because a high tide lifts all boats.
For sure. Yeah. Such an important lesson. And I mean, it shouldn't be taken lightly, right? Like who we surround ourselves with is literally going to shape who we become in the future. And so it's just something to always be considerate of like, who is it that I'm surrounding myself with? So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Before we circle to some more of the mindset stuff, which I'm really excited to get into, you've been in real estate now for the last like 20 years or so. And before that, you were also in hospitality. So what kind of real estate is your favorite now that you've been through a couple cycles?
Oh my gosh. Well, I love real estate. I believe it is the greatest wealth vehicle on the planet, right? Because again, if you look at my journey, I used other people's money. I had no money. But I scraped together other money from family and friends and other people that believed in me, you know, in order to buy that first property. And then slowly you can really build up from there. So I think what's really cool about, you know, whether you're new to real estate or you're an intermediate or you're an expert, there's always another level. There's always an asset class that you can play in, depending upon what your skill set is, what your mindset is, and what your heart set is, right? For some people, they have this desire that lives on their heart to go buy single family properties. And literally, that's what most of us do. We cut our teeth in single family. But you get to that point where you're going to continue to do that, and you're going to build up 2, 3, 5, you know, 10, 100, you know, single family homes, or you get that desire to pivot to small multifamily. Maybe you start buying 4-plexes, 6-plexes, 12-plexes, right? You know, for a lot of people, they stay in that smaller multifamily lane. And then you get guys like my client, Joe Fairless. You know Joe, he's an amazing guy. He literally started to go after the 80 to 100 to 120 unit apartments. Now he's buying like 500 door apartments and stuff. And if you think about Joe, what's great about his journey, and I've been coaching him since, gosh, 2013, is he went from 4 single family homes in Texas to now he's got, you know, over 11,500 doors worth about $1.1 billion. Now, that might sound crazy to you or me or listeners, but it was really him identifying that, you know, multifamily was the arena he wanted to play in. I've got other clients that do nothing but self-storage. I've got other clients that do nothing but mobile home parks. I've got other clients that are in assisted living, you know, and even myself, I am, you know, part of that single family thing, small multifamily, large multifamily, but I love diversification, right? So passively, I've invested in self-storage units in Key West, Florida. Passively, I've invested in agricultural hemp farms in Colorado. Passively, I've invested in resorts in Costa Rica. And passively, I've invested in modular home building in as far away as Australia. So again, it doesn't matter what you do. You got to believe in, you know, the asset class. And then, Suja, as you know, it comes down to the operator. It comes down to investing, you know, with people who really do believe in that asset class and are going to absolutely play at a high level to make sure we preserve capital, make some money, create some impact, and then be able to rinse and repeat. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. So one question that I want to circle back to that you mentioned was, you know, you've been exposed to business people, many different types of high level business people and athletes, et cetera. So what is it that makes you call real estate the greatest wealth building vehicle on the planet?
Well, oftentimes history repeats itself. And if you look back 100 years, 1,000 years, I mean, people used to go to war over land, right? They're not making any more of it. And when you look at statistics, like, you know, 95% of all millionaires have some, you know, part of their portfolio that came from real estate, you start to put the pieces of the puzzle together to go, okay, people need a place to live. It's created millionaires and billionaires. People have been going to war over land for thousands of years. Maybe it makes sense to play in that space. Does that resonate?
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely does. I guess I just, you know, wanted your particular take since I know, you know, you work with people from all different types of businesses and such.
I think that what compounds the beauty of it, and thank you for that, is the fact that there are extreme tax advantages to real estate that you can't get, you know, anywhere else, right? Depreciation, cost segregation. The government favors us as investors because the government doesn't want to house all of America. They need people like you and I to create affordable housing and apartments and, you know, all of these things so that, you know, there aren't people living in tents in every park in America. So we get incentivized to not only make impact, but make income. And then we get the tax advantages that go along with it. Name another asset class that does that. There are none.
I completely agree. And I really like how you broke all of that down. So you obviously work with people who are trying to make big moves in real estate and really grow their business. What would you say are some of the things that are holding people back from scaling their real estate portfolio?
Well, I love the question. And again, you know me, after doing 30,000 coaching sessions with investors, not just in America and Canada, but all over the place. I've got clients in the UK, clients in Singapore, clients in Italy, clients in Australia. Suja, I'd have to be an idiot at this stage not to be able to answer that. And what I've identified is, again, there are five things that hold people back from scaling in real estate. And I'm happy to go through them one by one with the listeners. Should we do that now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, the number one thing, and I can tell you that this is universal, doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, doesn't matter if you're living in Australia or America, doesn't matter if you're new to real estate, again, an intermediate or an expert. The number one thing that holds people back from scaling, no matter where you are, is limiting beliefs, right? Again, this 3-pound mass between our ears called our brain has one job. That is to keep us safe, to keep us alive, to keep us healthy. And so oftentimes when we're about to do something that is unfamiliar, like buy a property, raise capital, phone a broker, right? Ask Uncle John if he wants to come in and invest with us, knowing we could lose his money. That paralyzes us and we stop in our tracks and we go back to the couch and watch Netflix. Well, that's what average people do. So you got to start by understanding that beliefs or limiting beliefs are there. And we've got to start peeling back those beliefs to uncover the truth. Because the truth is, while you could fail in real estate, the law of polarity, which is a law like the law of gravity, if you jump off the roof of your house, you're going to go down. Well, the law of polarity says that for everything there is on the planet, there's a polar opposite. And I'll give you some examples. You can't have day without night. You can't have black without white. You can't have masculine energy without feminine energy. You can't have the North Pole without the South Pole. So what has that got to do with real estate? Well, it means that if we apply that to failure, you can't have failure in real estate with the possibility of what? Success in real estate, right? Same thing if somebody criticizes you and says, oh, you're not investing in real estate, are you? Really? I don't know if you should do that. You're going to have problems with tenants, toilets, and termites, right? And they literally, we call those dream stealers because they're telling you that through their lenses, through what we call their MOW or their model of the world. And their model of the world in real estate necessarily isn't the best thing to listen to. So I'm telling you, number one, you've got to get rid of any limiting beliefs that are preventing you from going out there and at least getting started in real estate.
For sure. Yeah, it's such an important one. And the interesting thing about limiting beliefs is that they exist at every level, right? So then once
absolutely
one level, you make one step, then there's another set of limiting beliefs that's keeping you from leveling up. So it's a constant process of trying to peel back those limiting beliefs.
That's exactly it. And that takes us to number two. And the second of the five things that prevent people from scaling is a lack of a strategic plan, right? Let's be honest. More people spend time planning their weekly, you know, yearly trip to Mexico than they do planning their business or their life. So what I like to do is start with the end in mind. That is, what is it that you want to achieve in real estate, right? What kind of asset class do you want to play in? What kind of markets are you looking at? Are you going to do it alone or are you going to do it with a partner? And then we literally take that and we start to reverse engineer a plan to get there. And reverse engineering a plan for me as a high performance coach is we take a look at your short-term goals that are going to help move you forward. And short-term to me is anything within the next year. Then we take a look at your long-term goals. And for me, long-term goals are anything from 1 to 5 years. And then anything past 5 years is what I call your vision for your business and your real estate and your life. So by taking a look at starting with the end in mind, reverse engineering what that looks like, getting clear on your 30, 60, 90 day goals up to a year, then what we're going to need to do for year, you know, 1 to 5, and then beyond that, it just starts to create a roadmap, a recipe, a blueprint, a GPS, call it whatever you want, that's going to help you go from where you are to where you could be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Where do people get tripped up when they're trying to create their strategic plan?
They really don't start with the end. Don't have enough, but big enough why. Why do you want to be a successful real estate investor? Why do you want to create passive income? Why do you want to give your children a better life? Why do you want to get that financial freedom handled now rather than wait for some, you know, corporation to have you retire at 65 and hopefully there's some pension money left over? I mean, and I'm not knocking W-2 because I worked in corporate for a long time, but I'm a big believer that even if you are a W-2 employee or you are a professional, that you can still do real estate part-time and start building that beautiful life over here while maintaining what you're doing over here. It's not a this or that conversation. It's a this and that conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, such a good point. Yeah, for sure. And I know we're only on number two and I can't wait to get to number 3, 4, and 5, but something just occurred to me, which is what is it that you love about coaching so much? Because, you know, obviously you're an amazing real estate investor, but you also have this, you know, coaching business, which you clearly just have a passion for. So I'd love to just hear you talk about that.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Well, again, if you look at my story, and even if you look before my story, I love people, right? And I always want people to succeed. I mean, I was the captain of the hockey team, captain of the football team. I would always try to be somebody that, you know, led by example. And I think as a coach, I have a responsibility to really understand and appreciate that if you want to go further, faster in life, if you want to do something Tony Robbins calls turning decades into days, you don't want to go it alone. You want to find somebody that's already done what it is you're trying to do. And if I look back at my journey, all of those investments I made in coaches, teachers, mentors, trainers, facilitators, right, have definitely helped me climb the steps to where I am today. And in complete transparency, I don't just talk the talk, I walk the walk. I have two coaches that kick my butt regularly. Plus I have an accountability partner because, Suja, I believe there's always another level to get to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So number three.
Number three is really interesting because once we help with limiting beliefs and once we, you know, help you with your strategic plan, the third thing that really prevents people from scaling is what I call lack of systems for support. Lack of systems for support. You've got to really start by thinking, okay, what are the roles and the responsibilities that you're committing to? Who else on your team do you need? What kind of technology do you need? Do you have systems that where you're regularly calling brokers? Do you have systems to help you raise capital? Do you have CRMs? Do you go and drive your markets regularly? I mean, most people do the shotgun approach, or they create a system, they'll use it for 2-3 weeks, and it's like a New Year's resolution. It goes away after, you know, 21 days. So I'm a big believer that once we get rid of your limiting beliefs, and we don't get rid of them, we start to peel back the layers so you believe in yourself and what's possible. Then we create the strategic plan. That strategic plan must then have systems that support you so that you can go out there and make it happen.
Yeah. So some of those systems, again, can you run down some of the ones that you
Well, sure. I'm happy to. Let's take roles and responsibilities. For some people, you know, and I'll use me as an example. I love going out there and finding deals. There's nothing better than going out there and looking for opportunity, right? Other people love underwriting deals. You know, some people love raising capital. Some people love running the asset or, you know, running the business plan. So different strokes for different folks. I think you should be able to understand all of the roles and responsibilities, but let's face it, you should be using your strengths and, you know, getting leverage from other people to help you with things that you're maybe not good at. I'll give you a perfect example. I love, you know, finding deals and I love raising capital. But if you want me to sit behind a computer and underwrite all day long, it's just not my thing. I can do it, but man, I'd rather farm that out to someone else and do what I love doing, which is getting in front of people and making deals happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go on to number four.
All right. Number four is one of my favorite things to talk about. And it's really what I call poor time management. Poor time management. I mean, you know, we've all got the same amount of time every week. It's called the rule of 168. And the rule of 168 decrees. That means that it means that you've got 168 hours. I've got 168 hours. You know, Tony Robbins has 168 hours and Joe Fairless has 168 hours. Now we sleep for some of those hours. We eat, we pay the bills, we play with the kids. But what are you really doing with your time? And are you doing busy work, right? Or are you doing the work that allows you to scale? You know, are you doing the work that allows you to make the most impact that then leads to you making perhaps the most income? Because I find that people get mirrored down in doing things that they think are important or think that are urgent, but they dearly don't understand, you know, the concept of urgent or important and urgent. And they end up doing what I call trivial tasks rather than what's going to move the needle the most. Does that resonate?
Yeah, for sure. And just to give the listeners an idea in real estate, and I know we've been touching on some of these, what are some of those activities that will move the needle?
Well, let's talk about what activities people think move the needle, like, you know, creating a website. Really important to have a good online presence today, because let's face it, brokers are going to check you out and other investors are going to check you out. You need, you know, some sort of LinkedIn presence, or you need some sort of credible website or something to get started. But it should not be the focus of your entire first 4 months of real estate, right? People print business cards to take to meetups. People want to get their colorful files in order, and people want to get all that set up perfectly. Well, I'm telling you, perfection is the enemy of execution. That is, they should be on the phone calling brokers. They should be on the phone talking to property managers. They should be getting in their car and driving neighborhoods, or getting in an airplane and flying to their out-of-state opportunities where they've identified opportunities, and literally, you know, walking properties, meeting people, learning the terminology, going to meetups, you know, conditioning their mind and their body for success, devouring books, great podcasts like yours. All of these things are available to people, but they get so caught up on business cards and websites that they forget about what's really going to move the needle.
Great point. Okay. So poor time management. Is there anything else you wanted to say on? Oh yeah. So it's actually focusing on what's going to grow the business. Is there anything else you want to say on that?
Well, yeah, there's some, the 80-20 rule that we often talk about, and we say that the 80-20 rule applies to everything. That is, you wear your favorite clothes, right, 80% of the time, and your other clothes 20% of the time, or you eat your favorite foods 80% of the time. You watch your favorite movies, even though you've seen them over and over, and you know how they're going to end. We rewatch movies because it feels good. It's comfortable, right? Well, I'm telling you, real estate has the 80-20 as well. And most people are focused on, doing the wrong things rather than doing the right things. And again, I'm telling you, real estate isn't anything more than understanding that you're not in the real estate business. You're in the relationship business, which means if you're not on the phone every day, building relationships, building rapport, following up, calling people back, asking what they do outside of real estate, you're really missing the mark. Because like I said, real estate is not the game of golf. It's not an individual sport. It's a team sport like football, basketball, hockey. Being a Canadian, I'm a big hockey fan. So I often say, we need goalies, we need defensemen, we need center icemen, we need wingers, right? In football, we need quarterbacks, we need running backs, we need wide receivers, we need blockers and tacklers. So again, when it comes to event management, as I call it, because I don't say time management anymore, because honestly, time's going to come and go. You can't control that. But what you can control is the event that you're focused on. So if you're focusing on what you should be and your partners or, other people that you're leveraging, maybe you have a VA that's helping you, maybe you outsource something to a personal assistant. I just find it funny that people don't really think about what they should be doing or what they should be handing off to someone else to do. And that's really why a lot of people, need coaches.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Our time is our most valuable resource, and we need to learn how to leverage it and spend our time doing our highest leverage activities.
Bingo.
Yeah. And be organized enough and willing to spend the time to help other people help us. Okay. So number five.
Five is kind of special and unique to me because it used to be one thing and now it's kind of like three things. It's like five A, B, and C.
Okay.
And so let's recap. If we help you to get rid of your limiting beliefs, help you to create a strategic plan, help you to create systems for support, help you to optimize your time, right? Number five comes down to execution, measuring your progress, and course correction. So let's break that down. None of that other stuff from one to four matter if you're not out there taking what I call intelligent and inspired action. And note that I didn't just say action. I said intelligent, which means smart, and inspired, where you don't have to do this work. You get to do this work, right? I find it crazy, drives me crazy when people say, oh, I have to call brokers. I mean, where's the pep in your step? You don't have to, you get to. This is your life and your family's well-being and everything behind that phone call, right? So intelligent, smart, inspired means, if you look up the Latin root of the word inspired, it means in theos or from God within. So I think that you want to really check in and see how hungry are you for real estate success? How fired up are you to do this? Because if you feel like you have to do it rather than you get to do it, we need to talk. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes so much sense. I mean, it goes back to something you talk about a lot, which is state, right? And so when you're taking action, it needs to be from a state of excitement, empowerment, in your top of your game,
Yeah. And is it going to be that way all the time? No. This isn't Pollyanna. Right. This isn't pie in the sky. You're going to have brokers that, hang up on you, and you're going to have investors that commit money and then pull it away at the 11th hour. I mean, that's why, I always say that it's a contact sport. You're going to get beat up sometimes. You're going to get punched in the face sometimes. But just like me, I got up and I dusted myself off and I kept on going. So I know what it's like to feel down. I know what it's like to be broke. I know what it's like to be fat. I know what it's like to be headed for divorce. I get it, right? And everyone else has a unique opportunity to really understand that what I'm talking about here applies personally as much as it does professionally or in real estate. Because at the end of the day, it all comes down to not just words, but it really does come down to action. So 5A would be take intelligent and inspired action. Does that make sense?
Yep.
You bet. 5B then is, how are you measuring your progress, right? Do you have timelines? Do you have deadlines? Do you say, I want to buy 100 doors by, or I want to buy 100 doors in this market, or I want to make X number of offers, or I want to go to X number of real estate conferences, or I want to hire a coach by this time, or I'm defiantly committed to listening to X number of, you know, great podcasts, reading great books, because again, you're either at cause or you're at the effect. But if you're not benchmarking it and you've got nothing to measure against, I swear to you, you're fooling yourself. You got to really have, you know, the wherewithal to put things in the calendar, right? And to really timestamp things, because your success truly does depend on it.
Makes a lot of sense for sure.
Yeah. Then 5C is really course correction. And I think a lot of people misunderstand this, that if a plane isn't, you know, on path, let's say you're flying from Los Angeles to New York, I don't think most people know that the plane is usually off target most times due to the wind or due to the pressure or whatever, but these little satellites in the sky get it to course correct. So it flies, you know, more direct east, it's going to say west towards New York. So I think that we as real estate investors sometimes get off course, and then guess what we do? We beat ourselves up for it, right? We go, oh, I'm so stupid, or I'm so lazy, or I'm not smart enough, or I didn't win that deal. And we create this, you know, belief again that maybe we're not cut out for it, or maybe the competition's too hard, or maybe the pandemic is not the right time to be buying real estate. And we literally tell ourselves rational lies by rationalizing all the reasons why we can't do it. Well, I'm a coach who believes that we're going to be off course quite a bit of the time, but there's always an opportunity to come back and course correct and take us closer to where we really want to be. So that's really 5A, 5B, and 5C. What are your thoughts?
I love how you broke that down. I mean, the 5A, the inspired and intelligent action, B, the measurement, and C, the course correction. I think it's just really beautifully laid out there. And it's something we, you know, I like how that's the fifth one. And then all the other four ones make it possible for us to do five effectively, right?
You got it. Absolutely spot on.
Yeah, really great stuff. And do you end up finding that people, you're helping people with like 1 to 4, and then you eventually get to 5, or how does it work? 30,000 hours of coaching, is there any trends?
Well, I'll throw that right back to you. That's like saying, and me asking you, how long, Suja, is a piece of string?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It can be an inch, it could be a mile, it could be 1,000 miles. And I think different strokes for different folks. And I find that different people need different levels of coaching. Right? You get some people that come in and they say, Trevor, don't give me any of that mindset BS. Just give me the strategy. I want to buy 100 units, right? Those are the people I know I got to start with mindset. Then you got the people that love mindset so much and they go, oh, I listen to Tony Robbins. I listen to Zig Ziglar. I listen to Jim Rohn. I listen to, you know, Grant Cardone. And all they want to do is camp out in personal growth, right? And never go out there and take action. So Suja, I've seen it all. There's very little that I have not seen in my 30,000 coaching sessions. And that's an actual statistic. That's not made up. And so they say that mastery is formed on, you know, doing something 10,000 times. Well, because I've given my life to this, I've immersed myself in this, because I said to my coach, one day I'm going to pay this forward, because I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for my coach lifting me up and elevating me to go to new heights. So again, I think that, you know, you ask a very powerful question and that it's situational, but for most people, I swear to you, Tony Robbins has it right when he says success is 80% psychology and 20% mechanics are what you do. You got to get this right. And once you get it right, you got to get it right again the next day and the next day and the next day. Personal development is like brushing your teeth, right? You don't just do it one time and you never brush your teeth again. You do it daily. And then you go out there and you take action. But I'll stack on that, that I find that, you know, my best clients, my top performing clients tend to have these four character traits, right? And I know you and I have talked about character traits before and, you know, how sometimes you really got to check in with your emotions and your character traits and, you know, who are you showing up as? Because my best clients tend to have these four characteristics. Number one, they are committed. That means that they are going to absolutely buy real estate, come hell or high water. They're not going to, you know, chicken out. They're not going to stick their head in the sand. They're defiantly committed. Number two, they are decisive. That means they're going to pick a market or two or three. They're going to pick an asset class. They're going to find partners. They're going to make offers. And they know that in today's competitive arena, sometimes you got to kiss a few frogs to find the prince, right? You got to put in a lot of offers to make best and final. And then even when you make best and final, you may or may not get the deal. That's for active investors. Same thing with passive investors. You don't just go into the first deal that you get presented. You got to look and understand who's the sponsor and how long's the deal and, you know, what's the cash on cash or the IRR or, you know, what's the equity multiple. And if people aren't aware of what these crazy sounding terms are, there's awesome websites and awesome books and education for you to go and learn them. So, you know, with that said, I think it's really, really imperative that people really, really understand and appreciate all of these things, because at the end of the day, I can tell that there are people that literally will be committed and decisive, and there are people that, you know, say they will, but at the end of the day, they're not committed, right? The third thing is you've got to be coachable, right? It's a fast-paced world. Real estate is a busy and competitive landscape. So what I often say to people is, you know, empty your cup out of what you think works and let Coach Trevor or books or you or Joe Fairless or someone else fill that cup back up with tremendous knowledge, right? You got to be coachable. And then number four, the fourth thing is you've got to be resourceful, right? It's going to take time. It's going to take some money. It's going to take energy for you to go from where you are to where you want to be. But I'm telling you, that's what, you know, high performers do to win in the game of real estate. So again, you got to be number one, committed, number two, decisive, number three, coachable, and yes, number four, resourceful. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think one thing that comes to mind is these character traits. Are they things that you can develop if you don't have them? Like, I mean, there's people who are very kind of trigger shy and maybe not decisive.
Yeah.
How do you develop that?
Well, again, I think that you find and surround yourself with other people who complement maybe what you don't have. And, you know, Tony says success leaves clues. You can learn how to play the piano. You can learn how to play the guitar or the violin. Is it possible that you could learn how to have a conversation? Is it possible you could learn how to raise capital? Is it possible you could learn how to underwrite? Because again, anything worth pursuing takes time, energy, attention, and intention. But the character traits are where, you know, you might have to leave over here what's called fear, because fear is really a call for courage, right? You have to leave pessimism over here to access optimism. So again, oftentimes, and again, I know you know this, but the listener might not, that you want to look for somebody that you admire, right? Somebody that has done something amazing, because we always say that if you spot it, you got it. So if you take a look at Elon Musk, I mean, that guy is not just committed, but he's defiantly committed to getting us to Mars. Oprah Winfrey, huge, you know, empathy. She wants to shower the world with love. Steve Jobs, God rest his soul, he was relentless, right? So when you see how Elon is, or Richard Branson, or, you know, Joe Fairless, Trevor McGregor, pick anybody. It could be a Hollywood actor or actress. It could be your grandfather. It could be your grandmother, a great aunt that you admired. Pick someone and ask this question. What character traits did they possess that allowed them to, you know, come up against obstacles or roadblocks where they found a way to go over it, under it, around it, or even through it? Because we all know those types of people.
For sure. What you just said is so important, because anytime you come up against an obstacle, and it's going to happen if you're in a growth mindset and if you're going to keep growing, it's so easy to just feel, you know, that feeling of defeat or like, oh, there's problems, and to lose that momentum. But there's so many stories and examples and inspirations that we can take, people just constantly overcoming obstacles. And so accessing that, you know, that inspiration from learning from people and how they overcame and what traits they used to do so. It's such a critical thing to keep coming back to.
Well, there's even a great quote in Think and Grow Rich. I love that you said that, where Napoleon Hill says that every adversity brings with it the seed of opportunity. Now think about that. Every adversity brings with it the seed of opportunity. The actual quote is, every adversity brings with it the seed of equivalent advantage. Now, what does that really mean? Well, to put it into layman's terms, there's, you know, a dark cloud. There's a silver lining behind every dark cloud. I guarantee the sun is shining behind every dark cloud you see in the sky. And at some point, that dark cloud is going to go away and the sun is going to shine on you. And I believe that when we run into roadblocks, obstacles, challenges, that's just the universe's way of getting us to build tremendous muscle. And again, I don't know anybody who's been successful at anything that hasn't had to build tremendous muscle along the way. Would you agree?
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, I think it's par for the course to have to do that. So
yeah.
There's the four S's, that the four words you must know if you want to explode your real estate results. Can you go over those for us?
Absolutely. I love them because again, it's an adaptation of what Tony Robbins teaches, but it really is the foundation for everything. So there's four words that if you really write down on a post-it note and you stick it up in front of your, you know, computer and you read it consciously and subconsciously every day, it will supercharge your ability to go out there. And the first one is your state, right? That refers to state management. How are you showing up in your mind right now? Are you focused on what you don't want or are you focused on what you do want? Are you using empowering language or disempowering language? Because if you're not aware of the state you're in, your physiology, your focus, and your language, it's hard to sit down and knock out the work you need to do. So number one, check in with your state. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Number two, Suja, is your story. And your story is really your identity. You're either a victim to it's hard to find deals, or you're a victim to the pandemic, or you're a victim to cap rates or interest rates or whatever story you're telling yourself, or you're going to get out of being a victim to choose to be a victor on your way to victory, right? Because somebody's got to drive the bus. But if you're letting your victim drive the bus instead of your victor, you're going to crash.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah. So if number one's your state, number two is your story, number three is what we call your strategy. And that is, you need a blueprint or a recipe or a roadmap to help you go from where you are to where you want to be. And that's that strategic plan that we talked about in step two, where you start with the end in mind and you reverse engineer how to get there. It's like, if you want to go from LA to New York, the goal is to get to New York, but you could ride a bike, you could take a plane, you could ride a motorcycle, you could hitchhike. I wouldn't advise that, but there's lots of strategies that you could use to get to where you want to go. And that takes us to the fourth one, number four, and that is your standards. Your standards are your commitment to how you're going to show up, right? So let me ask you and the listener, what do you need to do to draw a line in the sand, to raise your standards and step over that line, never to return back again, right? And it's not just in real estate. It could be in your diet. It could be in your relationship with your significant other. It could be something you're doing with your finances. It could be giving to charity. I think we all have a unique opportunity to raise our standards because I'll tell you this, as a high-performance coach, the quality of the standard you set for yourself will dictate the quality of where you arrive in business, in real estate, and in life. So again, those four S's are your state, your story, your strategy, and yes, your standards. What do you think, Suja?
Amazing. Yeah. I'm going to write those four things down and keep them on my computer because it's just such a good way to like kind of check yourself and see like, well, where am I stuck right now? You know? So this has been amazing, Trevor. Thank you so much. I mean, this episode, you should listen to over and over and over again, just to help yourself get to where it is you want to go. There's so much great value that you've provided, Trevor. So thank you so much for coming on. Please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
Well, thank you. And it's an absolute blessing to come on your show. You're a wonderful host and congrats on your success with so many amazing episodes. It's a lot of work, but boy, you know, it's really through conversations like this that people learn, through storytelling and all of these crazy things that Trevor's talking about, but they really do work. So thank you. And if anyone is interested in connecting, you'll find me on, you know, LinkedIn, you know, I'm on Facebook, but the easiest thing would be to go to my website. Again, trevormcgregor.com. You can learn a little bit more about who I am and what I do. And I've also launched my new private podcast, which is a paid podcast where I literally take people through an 8-week program to come in and learn everything that's similar to what I just ripped in this last little bit. You'll learn a lot about, you know, goal setting, goal achievement, time management, identity, all that stuff. And the price point is absolutely ridiculously cheap, but it's my way to give back. But I do believe that free attracts freeloaders. So I, you know, ask for a little bit of money so that I know people are going to play full out, listen to the episodes and, you know, start applying them in their life. And again, you can find all of that at trevormcgregor.com.
Awesome. Well, I hope you check out Trevor's stuff. He's just amazing. And that sounds like an amazing resource that you're making available to folks. So thank you so much, Trevor. It's been such a treat to have you on. And I certainly will be listening to this episode more than once. So thank you and have a great day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much. You as well. Take care and bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.